It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Once again, we're planning to bring you a conversation today with another candidate for U.S. Senate, Democrat Christopher Swan. But at the last minute, we found out he could not make it today. He says he had a family emergency. So instead, we're going to take a break from politics to consider the question, what does it mean to be in the Midwest? 100 different people could answer that question 100 different ways. We asked our texting group how they see the Midwest, and they had a lot to say.
Hi, my name is Lloyd. I'm calling from Danville, Illinois. My comment is, yes, this is the Midwest. The Midwest, unbeknownst to most people, stretches much further west and much further east than one could imagine. It also includes perhaps the south suburbs of Chicago. So anyone thinking that they don't live in the Midwest should reconsider Iowa, Illinois, parts of Indiana, Tennessee, and, of course, northern parts of the state, which is surrounded by the Chicago area. It's a great place to live, a lot of wildlife, many natural parks, the rivers and the streams. Illinois is a part of the major Midwestern states, and it's a beautiful place. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Lloyd. And we also heard from Ryan in Champaign, who is more matter of fact. He says, east to west, Ohio to Nebraska, south to north, Missouri to Minnesota. Yes, I'm a Midwesterner. It means I'm someone who lives in the Midwest region of the U.S. Beyond that, we maybe have a shared dialect and have seen a corn and soy field. A study published a few years ago looks at what brings us together at Midwest as Midwesterners. Researchers from a journal called the Middle West Review asked about 11,000 people from 22 states their perceptions of Midwestern identity. The results are not surprising when you look at the states we traditionally consider Midwestern. Almost 94% of the Illinoisans who responded said yes, they live in the Midwest. Beyond that, most of them said they not only live here physically, but they think of themselves as a Midwesterner. But the Midwestern identity stretches further than we might think, if the survey is any indication. Take Wyoming, which is not one of the dozen states the Census Bureau designates as making up the Midwest. But despite that, more than half the people from Wyoming who responded said yes, they too live in the Midwest, and they consider themselves to be Midwestern. John Lauck, he is the leader of the study. He is not the Enlightenment philosopher and author of an essay concerning human understanding, different spelling, different century. Rather, he's the editor-in-chief of the Middle West Review and founding president of the Midwestern History Association. He's also the author of a book called The Good Country, A History of the American Midwest, 1800 to 1900. That's from University of Oklahoma Press. If you're wondering, about two-thirds of the Oklahomans who responded to poll said they currently live in the Midwest. I spoke with John back in November 2023. The conversation's on tape. We're not taking calls for this part of the show, but you can let us know what you think. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. John is with us now to talk about Midwestern identity, what it is, and just how far it goes. Welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
All right, John, so you led this study about Midwestern identity. I mentioned a couple of the findings right at the start, but let's go bigger picture. What have you found out about how far Midwestern identity can stretch?
Well, thanks again for having me, Brian. And I should say, at our journal, Middle West Review, one of the topics or one of the questions that always comes up is, well, what are we defining as the Midwest? Because we tend to publish articles and focus on topics that are supposed to be in the Midwest. And so this foundational question persists. What is the Midwest? And what we've kind of settled on is the 12 state Census Bureau definition, which goes from basically Ohio out to Nebraska, Kansas, and the Dakotas, and dips down and includes Missouri. That's the standard definition, and I think it's very accurate. But we wanted to get a better sense of what people thought, as opposed to geographers and social scientists and political scientists. So we went to Emerson College polling and struck up a deal and did a partnership with them to do the biggest poll that's ever been conducted on this particular question. And as you said, the results were very clear. Places like Illinois, clearly the Midwest, 94% of people are Midwestern or consider themselves as living in the Midwest. And places like Iowa and Minnesota, as you would expect, are even higher. They're up at 97%. So I think that tells us a couple of things. Number one, in a world where people think more and more folks are disconnected from particular places and they're always on their phone and they're always on Zoom and it doesn't really matter where they are physically in the world, people think regional identity has declined or diminished or connectedness to a place has diminished, but that's not true. We found that these levels of identification with the Midwest are extremely high. And if you can get 97% of people to agree on one particular point in this divided world, I mean, that's very impressive. So Midwestern identity is very strong. And you can see the divide between regions fairly clearly in the data. So 94% of people in Illinois say they're Midwestern. Well, you drop down into Tennessee, for example, only 8% do. And a lot of those people are probably migrants. They've moved there from a Midwestern state or they're a little confused or something. But it shows a deep regional divide between regions. And that's something we forget about, I think, in our culture and politics.
Why did you include states like even Idaho, right, in a study about the Midwest? And for the record, 25% of the Idaho residents who responded say they consider themselves as living in the Midwest. I mean, why include those states that aren't traditionally Midwestern in the first place? And what does that say that they think of themselves that way?
Well, that was a choice made so that we had some comparative numbers. We need to be able to say, as social scientists, okay, these people claim 95% Midwestern, but what do the people say in bordering states, in borderlands, or farther outside the pale of the Midwest? And so we wouldn't be able to really draw any great contrasts if we only surveyed the Midwestern states. So in addition to the 12 traditional states of the Midwest, we added another 10 on the outskirts to find out, what the dividing line was. And there are a number of conclusions from this data, but one of them is that the western boundary extends farther west than we initially thought. Now, at the same time, I think we can conclude that the eastern boundary is actually quite stark. There's a very clear line dividing Pennsylvania from Ohio. Now, I think some people thought that Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania might slightly identify with the Midwest and Ohio, but that's not true. They don't. There's a pretty stark line there. But when you get out west, there's more of an amorphous borderland. So I live in South Dakota, and we typically think of West River, South Dakota, or the half of the state west of the Missouri River, as being kind of high plains and starting to get into the mountain west because of the Black Hills and ranching and Indian reservations and a different kind of topography. But in fact, people out there are calling themselves Midwestern, and it kind of makes sense because, there's a lot of rural areas and people farm, and, the corn that makes places like Illinois and Iowa famous, well, the Corn Belt is growing. It's stretching west because of hybrid seeds and better production, better production techniques. So it makes sense. And also, how many people do you know who call themselves plainsmen or plains people? No one really does that. They say they're Midwestern until you get to kind of the eastern slope of the Rockies. And that's a super interesting finding. And I think it has implications for the study of the Great Plains. Maybe that's a lot narrower area and people don't identify with it as much as we thought they did.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I definitely thought of Midwest as one thing and the Plains as another. But you're right. I've never heard anyone call themselves a Plainsman or anything like that. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with John Lauck, who is the leader of a study looking at Midwestern identity. He's also editor-in-chief of the Middle West Review and founding president of the Midwestern History Association. And let's go now to line four, where John is calling in from Philo, Illinois. John, thanks for calling in.
Well, hi there. Thank you for taking my little message. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, and then moved to Bloomington, Indiana for graduate school. And it was odd. I kind of felt like I'd moved to the East. it's so different.
In Indiana compared to Kansas, you mean? You'd moved out east. Yeah.
I could see calling Kansas the Plains or something. We always thought of ourselves as the Midwest, I think. We even thought of Colorado kind of as the Midwest. Didn't get to the real West until the western slope of the Rockies, I guess. Montana seems kind of far away. but there certainly is a change in topography when you cross the Missouri up in the Dakotas there. That's just wonderful. But that's all I really wanted to say. It seems to be a state of mind, basically, except I'm surprised there's such a stark difference there at Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And in the state of mind, thank you so much for that call, John. I appreciate it. And I think that state of mind is another way that people think about this. We got a text message from David in Mount Morris who said, if I had to describe us Midwesterners, it would be like so. We are rustic, resilient, and resourceful. We are modest and humble, yet we still have that built-in manifest destiny desire. We are not the smartest people in the world, but we're not the dumbest. I just looked at my college degree, and it still reads Northern Illinois University and not Harvard. There are many other adjectives to use, but I think those are the most accurate. End quote. Thank you, David, for that. Almost poetic. We, again, are speaking with the lead researcher and Middle West Review editor-in-chief, John Lauck, about a study of Midwestern identity. John, I don't know if you want to respond to what either our message writer, David, or our caller, John, had to say there about Midwestern identity.
Well, John and Philo, I would say, I agree. Kansas is very Midwestern, very much identified with that part of the country. I think the numbers for Kansas were 95%. And I'm glad he commented on how Eastern Colorado, to a greater extent than I thought before we launched this study, identifies with the Midwest. It does kind of make sense when you think about it. And I think this has a lot of implications for our study of regions. I was surprised to hear him say when he got to Bloomington, Indiana, it did not feel very Midwestern to him, because it certainly does to me. Indiana, their numbers are obviously off the charts. And, you know, when I think of Indiana, I think of the Hoosiers, and I think of the great movie, The Hoosiers, and small town rural life. So if Indiana is not Midwest, I'm not sure what it is. It seems like kind of at the epicenter of the region.
Let me just share, we got another message, just a sort of a point of order, I guess, from a comment I made earlier. And you said is that we had a caller, didn't want to go on air, but said she went to high school in Nebraska and the mascot was the Plainsmen. So I guess there you have it.
Did they happen to say what town in Nebraska that is?
I don't know. They did not. Although one of our producers did a quick Google search and found, at least at the college level, there's the North Platte Plainsmen. Okay. So interesting. So go ahead.
We should just follow up real quick. I mean, Platte would be out in western Nebraska, and that's in that area where, you know, we think it slopes up, it's high plains, it's a little bit different. So we're not saying 100% of people in Nebraska identify as Midwestern, but if you dig down into the data, you will find that, you know, 98% of Nebraskans in the eastern part of the state identify with the Midwest and Iowa and eastern Dakotas. But if you get out farther west, that number will drop a little bit. I'm not talking degrees of magnitude. I'm just saying there's going to be a little bit of differentiation based on geography and closeness to the Rockies and the higher elevation, et cetera. Yeah. So I'm glad she brought that up. I mean, these are not sharp edges. There are going to be parts that are more borderland than, you know, deep in the heart of the Midwest, like Illinois.
Just a couple of minutes, and then we need to take a break on our program. I do want to ask about, you mentioned the percentages and the places that have high percentages, but it's not 100, right? And even here in Illinois, 94% of respondents say they live in the Midwest, 88% identify as Midwesterners. What do you make of that 6% and 12%? I mean, are these the people who, you know, on Jimmy Kimmel's TV show couldn't name the current president of the United States? Or what do you think is going on there?
Well, I think there's a few of those, but I think the bulk of those people if you dug down and found out more about them, they are probably people that, for example, grew up in California and moved to Chicago to take a job. And they are clearly aware that they're living in the Midwest. That's where they're physically located, but they may identify with a different region because they're from a different place. And so they would say, they're a Californian, but they are living in the Midwest. That's why, that's what explains that differential.
Ah, or to quote the great musical Rent, you can take the girl out of Jersey, but you can't take the Jersey out of the girl. All right, we need to pause for a short break on the program today. We'll have more from our conversation with Middle West Review Editor-in-Chief John Lauck when we return. He was the leader of a study on Midwestern identity and just how far that stretches. We spoke with him back in November 2023, so obviously because of that, we're not taking calls live today, but we do love hearing from you, so send us your thoughts. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. We also heard from a lot of members of our texting group for this particular conversation. And if you want to join and help inform our coverage, you can find out how to do that at our website, 21stshow.org, 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. It's the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about a new study that looks at the scale of a new study. That is an old script. We're talking about a study that looks at the scale of the Midwest in the minds of those who live in it and around it. We're doing this conversation today. We're listening back to this conversation today because a Senate candidate was supposed to join us and did not at the last minute. So we went into our archives to pull up this study from a journal called the Middle West Review. It asked about 11,000 people from 22 states, their perceptions of Midwestern identity. We're talking with the lead researcher and Middle West Review editor-in-chief, John Lauck, about what the study found. We also gathered thoughts from listeners. John in Elgin sent a message that said, I think part of the confusion stems from overlapping regions, the Great Lakes, the Rust Belt, the Great Plains. If people feel like they have to pick just one, it gets complicated. There's also an urban-rural divide. Some city dwellers equate Midwest with country. We originally talked with John Lauck back in November 2023, so no live calls for the show today, but you can let us know what you think anytime. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. John, I wonder what you make of that, this idea of overlapping identities, Great Lakes, Rust Belt, Great Plains.
I guess I would say that there is an umbrella identity called Midwestern, but within that identity, there are sub-regions. And so you'll have people that are closer to the Great Lakes, or if you live in Chicago, you kind of have a dual identity. You're part of the Midwest, of course, but you're also part of Chicagoland. There continues to be multiple identities that people have. They have a loyalty to their hometown or to the sports franchise in the region, and then they have a broader identity which links them to people throughout the Midwest. That's how I would explain it. I would say one thing that I thought was interesting about this study as it pertains to Illinois is that I thought it might be that some people in Chicago might more heavily identify with the city than the broader region. And that, you know, we're all familiar with this term Chicagoland and all the outlying burbs. And I thought that might take the place of a broader regional identity for some people, but that is not true. And in fact, the regional identification in Illinois is as strong, almost as strong as it is in Iowa. So there wasn't really much drop off there, which I found interesting.
That is interesting, especially because those of us who are from Illinois and from Chicagoland, but not from Chicago, know it can be a big deal for people who grew up in the city to sort of police the boundaries of Chicago identity. And if you know, it's sort of a standing joke at the University of Illinois where a lot of students will say they're from Chicago when they're really from the suburbs. And, you know, some people take great offense at that identity if they did grow up as a city kid. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jonathan, another Jonathan, is calling in from this time from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, on line one. Jonathan, thanks for the call.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to note that one seeming distinction as we've traveled around the country doing projects is it seems that the Midwesterners are known for their hard work ethic, and so we've had contractors in Florida specifically bringing in Midwestern contractors only. Out on the West Coast and on the East Coast and kind of down in the Deep South as well. That is my comment.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Jonathan. That's interesting. John Lauk, let me ask you about that. So now we're getting more into what it means and what is the deeper sense of a Midwestern identity? Is there a work ethic to this? We heard from some listeners on this point as well. What do you think about that?
I think it's true. I think there is a stronger work ethic. I think it's built into the culture. I've been trying to think of ways to quantify this so that we can measure it in some way, so we can, make it a little bit more real than just an opinion. But the story that this fellow told from Lake Geneva certainly fits that. And I've been thinking about this for a long time because my dad had a great story that when he grew up on a farm in South Dakota, and when he got out of the Korean War, he went to Southern California because Union Carbide, the big company there, had a standing policy that if you were from the Midwest, they would automatically hire you. They wouldn't do an interview. They just move you down into the training room. And that was because the people from this area had this strong reputation for being reliable and showing up to work and working hard. So there's some truth to it. I just would like to figure out a better way to measure it and, you know, put it into a social science journal. But I do think it's true just based on my experience.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Let me share another text. This is from Ann in Bloomington Normal, who says, I've been a Midwesterner my entire life. For much of my life, Midwesterner generally meant reasonable, rational, patient, and kind. In the past 10 years, I've seen that change. Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan still largely fit the original. For much of the rest, Indiana and Wisconsin, for example, I've seen a shift to irrationality, unkindness, and rigidity. I'm saddened by the shift and would love it if Midwestern returned to meaning what it used to. John, I wonder, either through your research or maybe anecdotally, if you've seen that change as well.
Well, I do think that that stereotype or that reputation is true. I mean, you can think back to these very reasonable political leaders that came out of the Midwest. Since we're talking about Illinois, I'm thinking of people like Paul Simon or Everett Dirksen,
yeah,
or Bob Michael from down in Peoria. I mean, they all fit the bill perfectly. I don't know about the last few years. They've been a strange couple of years because of the pandemic and lots of other things. So I think the jury is still out. In my experience, though, driving around, talking to people, doing these surveys, people seem pretty nice still. There's a lot of nice people that will help you out if you're in a jam or whatever. So I hope our friend Ann in Bloomington doesn't give up hope just yet.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Midwestern identity. You wrote a book on this. How do you trace Midwestern identity going all the way back to the 1800s when, you know, Illinois was actually the West at one point in American history? When does it start to solidify as the Midwest?
Yeah, this is one of the big questions I tackled in this book. You mentioned The Good Country, which is my history of the Midwest, which weirdly, there's very few histories of the Midwest. I mean, there's tons of them for the South and the, you know, the far West, and of course, New England, but the Midwest really had no basic history books. So I had to tackle that early on in the book, and it develops because the Midwest had to be organized via the Northwest Ordinance. So the area north of the Ohio River and west of the original 13 colonies. And so it began to take on this regional flavor of its own. It was a part of the early American Republic that was not the South. And so it was first called the Northwest Territory because it was in that part of the country during the 1820s, et cetera. But as the country moved west, all of a sudden there was a far west. And so our region became the Middle West. And it's not the most elegant term, and it's not completely clear to a lot of people, but that's the moniker that developed. And it started to be used in, say, the mid-1800s, because when the railroads were going all the way to the West, they needed a way to say, okay, we're not in the East, we're not in the far West in California, we're in the Middle West. And that's where the term comes from.
Another message. This one's from Tommy in Urbana, who said, "A Midwesterner doesn't like pretension, weird food, crowds, when people stand or fish too closely, and fake anything. Likes are better homes and garden type homemade food, cold weather, fishing, baseball, and humorous stories. The Midwest is from Ohio to Iowa and Illinois to the middle of Wisconsin. Missouri is not a Midwest state. I'm not comfortable living in any other area of the world, but we do visit other places on Earth when possible." End quote. Thanks for the message, Tommy. John, what do you make of this sort of policing the boundaries, people jealously guarding their Midwestern identity, putting a fence around it, as Tommy did?
Well, I love it. I love it when people talk about where they are, where they're planted, where their roots are. That's an important part of life. Everyone wants to know their own story, their own identity. And that's why this is such a great conversation. And it really caused a lot of people to weigh in and offer their thoughts. I do like his comment about, you know, this frustration with people that are kind of arrogant and stuffed shirts. I was just reading this book last night about Harry Truman, who is clearly a Midwesterner. And he had this meeting with General MacArthur. And if there was ever a stuffed shirt or someone who put on it or was pretentious, it was General MacArthur. And that meeting did not go well because Harry Truman had a much different approach to life. And he was a simple, plain-spoken guy from a small town in Missouri. And he didn't mix well with the imperious General MacArthur. I would say Tommy down in Urbana should give Missouri a second look. 95% of people in Missouri identify as Midwestern. I know there's kind of a weird history there going back to the Civil War. Missouri was kind of a mixed state in some ways, but you know, ever since then, it's drifted into the Midwestern orbit. But it's a great debate about how Midwestern is Missouri and how Southern oriented is it. And that's why we're doing these sort of polls.
No, and these are interesting questions. And even within Illinois, I mean, I think of Illinois as this amazing microcosm where you essentially have the Northeast in Chicago. You have sort of the Midwest through much of the state. And then Southern Illinois, there are parts of it that are physically and spiritually closer to Mississippi than to the North. And, you know, this is one of the things. I guess final thoughts. What are your next frontiers? You mentioned sort of trying to quantify some of these ideas people have about the Midwest. But now that you have this foundation of data about Midwestern identity, how do you hope people will build upon that?
Well, we want to do another survey. And if people want to be a part of this or jump in or help us fund it, we'd love to hear from you. But we want to dig a little bit deeper into these borderlands. So I'm thinking of places like Northeast Michigan, where it kind of gets close to Ontario. If you look at our polling data, identity gets a little bit weaker there, which makes sense given its location. I would like to drill down a little bit more on the specifics of this borderland between, say, Pittsburgh and Eastern Ohio, or where Appalachia ends and the Midwest begins. Of course, this Western area is very interesting. I think we learned a lot about what people in Eastern Colorado and Montana think, but we want to get a little bit more granular on that. And then you mentioned just a minute ago how Illinois has these subregions. That would be fun to dig into also. I mean, Southern Illinois, way down in Cairo, I mean, that part of Illinois, that's further south than Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy. So there is a kind of interesting Southern orientation there. Western Illinois, have you ever heard of this term Forgottonia?
Oh, yes. We just had a conversation about that on the show a week or two ago. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, funny. Well, that kind of showed up in the polling, too. So there are these little niches of the Midwest that need to be explored further. So we're hoping to try this again, probably in January or February, if we can talk the right people into helping us fund it.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward. I hope we can have you back to continue this conversation. There's a number of other, you know, the regional things you talked about, Colin Woodard's American Nations, how that fits into your work. I would be interested in that. There's also a question of racial identity. We don't have time to really get into it now, but somebody sent us a message talking about this idea of work ethic. Is there sort of an idea that there's a whiteness angle to that somehow in the way, you know, people are coding their language somehow? But unfortunately, that is not what we have time for now. I want to thank John Lauck, who is the editor-in-chief of the Middle West Review, founding president of the Midwestern History Association, and the author of The Good Country, A History of the American Midwest, 1800 to 1900. John, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks a million, Brian.
Again, this conversation was in place of the one we had planned with Senate candidate Christopher Swan. He couldn't make it last minute, but there are more conversations with candidates for Senate coming up, including on Monday, when we're scheduled to talk with Republican R. Kerry Caparelli. He works in marketing, teaches college geography. He's the son of a former state lawmaker who was a Democrat. That's it for us today and this week. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producers, Colson Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. We're a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.